Only a few of the oldest among us can recall the days before the Golden Gate Bridge linked the North Bay directly to San Francisco, much less the formidable efforts that went into its design and construction. Historian Kevin Starr has compiled a succinct but comprehensive account of the bridge's origins and impacts in his latest book, Golden Gate: The Life and Times of America's Greatest Bridge, which sets out to incorporate every aspect of the span's development.
The design, the construction, the financing, the politics, and ultimately the aesthetics. It's a triumph of engineering, but it's also a profound work of art, and it makes a very powerful statement about American life. We were creating in the Golden Gate Bridge an engineering marvel, which is also an iconic structure, iconic to California, iconic to the nation, and really a global icon, one of the modern wonders of engineering.
It was the longest suspension bridge in the world when it opened in 1937, and Starr notes that while the engineering challenges involved in erecting the Golden Gate Bridge were widely reported then and since, it's not nearly as well known that the entire project was privately funded.
The Golden Gate Bridge was not financed by the federal government, despite the fact that it occurred during the Great Depression, when the federal government was doing so much financing of public works. It was financed by the counties around the bridge and Del Norte County, way to the north, which joined in to organize the bridge district, and the Bank of America, a private entity, AP/Giannini, who bought the bonds.
Exchange Bank founder Frank Doyle was an important player in the North Bay's support for the project, but Starr observes that there were widespread economic incentives here to see the bridge built.
They wanted to be connected into the network of San Francisco, to be economically interactive. Don't forget that as of 1909, 60% of the population of California lived around San Francisco Bay. And these are the markets that Napa, Sonoma, Mendocino needed for their economic development, most basically in terms of agriculture.
Over the years, the striking design of the bridge towers has become fused with their distinctive color, a shade called International Orange. Yet Starr reports that color choice was almost accidental.
The Navy wanted one kind of color, the Army wanted another, shippers wanted another. And oddly enough, the primer paint that they used initially was close to this international orange, and lo and behold, this color began to interact with the atmosphere, with the coloration of the environment. This color had a kind of call to San Francisco. It worked in the atmospherics, and it works, of course, triumphantly with the bridge. You can't imagine it any other color.
Likewise, Starr adds, it's hard to imagine some other changes that have been proposed for the Golden Gate, such as a lower deck for rail service, ever winning public support.
It's to me fascinating how powerfully the aesthetics of the bridge have taken hold on the popular imagination. There's a high regard for the Golden Gate Bridge as a work of art shared by the broader community. It's a grand public sculpture. It's a work of art complete unto itself, aside from being an extraordinary practical thing.
But change may come with time. In the 24th century San Francisco scene in the fourth Star Trek movie, the iconic bridge is still there, but has added that second level. I'm Bruce Robinson reporting for KRCB.